Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and what we usually do here is go through the Bible book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. I am a true Bible believer. I believe in the authority of the Word of God, Scripture alone, and nothing above Scripture except for the Spirit of God, not the Spirit of man, not the Spirit of a corporation or a city-state that is domiciled in Europe. No, it's Scripture alone, with no private interpretation, using the grammar and the history of the document itself to interpret the document. The Bible interprets itself. Okay, today we are going to start a new study, and our study is in the Gospel of John. So let's jump into the text here. And for those of you that want to follow on screen, if this is a live broadcast, or you can catch it on the podcast or on the YouTube channel. I am using the eSword. That's and you can get a copy of this for your PC or whatever device you're using from e-sword.net. And when you download that program, you get the Authorized King James Version. You get the Authorized King James Version and the Plus Version, which everything is keyed to the text. And perhaps before we jump in, I'll just show you how that works. I have it on the screen here. And if I hit the King James Version Plus tab, you see that there's little numbers show up, and every time you mouse over a number, it follows a word or a phrase. Like here's the phrase, the beginning. And you'll have that comes from the Greek G7046, RK, and it gives you a definition. However, to use God's word to define a word, what we do is we highlight the Greek number there. We hit our search binoculars, our search window comes up, and then we're, of course, this is a New Testament Greek, so we select New Testament here, and we hit the search binoculars again, and we find every occurrence of that Greek word to see how God used that word, and thus we get a biblical interpretation of every Greek word. For all those of us who haven't studied Greek, this tool is as good and probably better than perhaps knowing the Greek language ourselves. So just a demonstration there on how you can use these tools. All right, let's begin. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, this sounds a whole lot like another verse that we should all be familiar with, and that verse would be from the first verse of the book of Genesis, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We go back to John 1:1, and what does it say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, our good friend Matthew Henry, I'm going to tell you what Matthew Henry says about this. The plainest reason why the Son of God is called the Word seems to be that as our words explain our minds to others, so was the Son of God sent in order to reveal his Father's mind to the world. What the evangelist says, speaking of John, of course, of Christ, proves that he is God. He asserts his existence in the beginning, his coexistence with the Father. The Word was with God, all things were made by him, and not as an instrument. Without him was not anything made that was made, from the highest angel to the meanest worm. This shows how well qualified he was for the work of our redemption and salvation. The light of reason, as well as the life of sense, is derived from him and depends upon him. This eternal Word, this true light shines but the darkness comprehends it not. Let us pray without ceasing that our eyes may be open to behold this light, that we may walk in it and thus be made wise unto salvation by faith in Christ Jesus. And I join with that prayer from our brother Matthew Henry, who wrote these words, almost 500 years ago. Well, probably at least 500 years ago. What does he say? He equates the Word with God. The Word was God, John says here. We also have it written by the apostle in the epistles that he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's a description of Jesus, or Yahshua, the Son of God. All things were made by him. On the sixth day, God said, "Let us make man in our image." Apparently, that he was in the beginning. And this is perhaps where John derives the idea that he was in the beginning. It is also written in God's Word that that Jesus, the Messiah, is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, meaning that the very creation was founded upon the principle of the Lamb being slain for its redemption. So when we read these words, we have a fuller understanding of their meaning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. Now perhaps our evangelist here, John the Apostle, the Beloved, is coming back down to earth a little bit. He says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Of course, speaking of John the Baptist, not the author speaking of himself. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, speaking of John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you stay with me, we're going to talk about what it means to believe on his name. Is it a simple assent that Jesus is God, or that God exists, or that Jesus was the Son of God? The demons proclaimed it. They knew it. And the scripture reports that they trembled. So what it means to believe involves is much more complicated than simply acknowledging something to be a fact. Belief is beyond just having facts, understanding them, knowing them, and even accepting them. Because many accept the facts, many accept the truth, but then their minds become clouded by the evil one, by the temptations of this world, and they deceive themselves into changing the truth into a lie. More about that later. So, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Were they not the sons of God before? See, now here we have the author, our apostle, differentiating between men who have not received a power to become the sons of God and those who have received him. Now, if you receive him, of course, we're talking about receiving him as your Messiah, as the propitiation for your sins, allowing the purchase price to be applied to you. And that purchase price, of course, is of his blood. So we And he says, to them that believe. And it says here, you know, we have the, you can see it here on the screen. It says, even to them that believe on his name. But you see here the word, it says even, and you'll notice that the even is in italics. And it's a little bit lighter. And also, if you have a hard copy, and it's the authorized King James Version, you'll notice the same thing in your handheld version of the Bible, that there are certain words that are in italics. Now, these were added. Okay? These were added when the authorized version was published, and they were added to clarify. But I think this little word, even here, I think it doesn't simply clarify. I think it kind of changes the meaning. And perhaps it wasn't intentional. I'm sure that whoever added these English words in for clarification or to upgrade to, the evolution of the English language at that time certainly had the best of intentions. But it seems to digress when it's added. So I'm going to read this both ways. But as many as received him, to them he gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It seems there's a digression, that you don't have to quite receive him, but perhaps even to those that merely believe on his name. So I have to add more words, but so it seems to plant a digression in the mind. So perhaps at this instance, I would leave out the word even so that it doesn't change it at all. I don't believe that a clarification was needed. Now, if your job is to add clarification by adding words, perhaps you could get carried away easily. But as many as received him, to them he gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. So there's not a digression. It's not a different class. It's a clarification if you leave out the even, to them that believe on his name. So what does it mean to believe? Well, I believe that it's in the text that there itself, that you receive him. So it's not merely a belief, but it's receiving him. Okay? So it's not a digression. It's not a dichotomy. It's not a separate class, one that receives him and others that believe, but it's one and the same. One that really believes has received him, and one that has received him believes. Okay. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh. So we go on for further clarification. It's beyond belief. Yes, there's a catchphrase for you. Beyond belief. It goes beyond belief. You have to receive him, one. And it says that there's a separate birth, a new birth, which were born not of blood, and which we were all born of the blood of Adam. We are all the sons and daughters. We all have the curse of Adam on us, except for that one who was not born of the seed of Adam, but of the seed of the woman. It's a technicality in the law of God, which allows for the Messiah, because the seed of Adam imparting the curse to every man and woman that is born of the seed of man. But Jesus was not born of the seed of man. He was born of a new seed, the seed of God, and the seed of the woman. So we see that the curse is only transmitted through the seed of the man, but it is not transmitted through the seed of the woman. Otherwise, Jesus, being born of a woman, could not be without sin and without imputed to him the sin of Adam, as we all are. And that understanding clarifies a lot of other misconceptions throughout the scripture. So I'd like to drive that point home as much as I can. So which were not born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now it was the will of God, which Mary accepted, the young virgin Miriam accepted. So it was not her will, but she accepted the will of God. And it was not the will of man, because man and the seed of Adam had nothing to do with it. It was contrary to the will of man. As you see, Joseph was ready to put Mary away until he also accepted the will of God, being visited by an angel. And of course, all the men around accused Jesus of being a bastard. That was one of the accusations, because of the rumor that sprang from the facts on the ground. So facts sometimes don't tell the truth. And in this case, the facts speak of a miracle. But, you know, miracles are something that we cannot quantify, verify. It's something that has to be accepted by faith. And that's why National Israel and all the religious establishment leaders of Jesus' day, they could not accept. Even the miracles couldn't sway them. In verse 14, we continue. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God has many sons and daughters, and I am one, and you are one, I hope. But He has only one begotten, only one born of His seed, even Adam. You know, Jesus is called the second Adam because He was a created seed, but Adam wasn't begotten. He was formed out of the dust of the ground. Jesus was the only begotten in the flesh, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. Now how could this be? John was conceived and born 6 months, if we know what happened, if we have any understanding of the events at all. We know that six months before Jesus was conceived, John was conceived. John was born 6 months before Jesus was born. So it says, He that cometh before me is preferred before me, the words of John, for He was before me. And Jesus said things like, you know, this is a witness that tells us that when Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am, that Jesus pre-existed even the creation. And we go back to the beginning of John, the chapter we're in, where it says that all things were made by Him and through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was there in the beginning, on the sixth day, when God said, let us, the Son was there. I don't understand it. I can't explain it to you. It's a mystery, which I can barely conceive with my mortal mind. But somehow by faith I accept it. And I know, not only do I accept it, but I know that it is true. I know that the virgin birth is true, because something has happened to me. That something that has happened to me is what we've been reading about. That not born merely of the flesh, not born of blood, but born of the Spirit. That has happened to me. I have been born again spiritually. He gave me the power to become a son of God, and He gives it to every single one of us that receive Him and believe according to this gospel that we're reading today, God's Word, the Word written down for us, the Word of God. And of His fullness we have all received, have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen. And you know, I've talked about grace. Adam and Eve received grace. The death sentence was pronounced before the crime was committed. In the beginning, you know, going back to Genesis, and I believe that's what John does a lot of here, as he goes back to John, and his epistles are more akin to Old Testament writing than anything else, and delve more into it than anything else. Now, Adam and Eve, you know, the death sentence was pronounced. Here's the crime, and if you eat of the fruit, you shall surely die. That was the death sentence that they received after they received the fruit. And we are all born with that death sentence in our flesh, all being the sons and daughters of Adam, all being the seed of Adam. We've received that death sentence, and how do we know that's true? Well, it's obvious. There's only one book, and that is the Word of God, the Holy Bible, that explains this fact. We shall surely die. There's no other book that gives us this fact and why it is so that we shall surely die, why there is death and destruction and desolation in the world. Corruption, that's what corruption is. Everything shall surely die. Everything degrades. And there's only one book in the world that explains these facts to us. But God gave Adam and Eve grace. They didn't die in that day. They received the death sentence in that day. But they also received grace. And here is the explanation for that grace. Right here in the Gospel of John is the explanation for that grace. And it says here, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Remember, he was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Adam and Eve received grace for their mortality so that they would have time to repent of their sin and be saved by the blood of the Lamb. They looked forward, we look back. One Savior, one Lord, one propitiation, one blood. And we are all bought and purchased by that blood into the family of God, and that is the power to become the sons of God. We'll return in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we're going through the Gospel of John today.